We begin then our time together in prayer. Lord God, we give you thanks that you've revealed yourself through your holy word. We pray that you would help us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit to have ears that would hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive the blessed gift of grace through these words today. And then may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a story of a young couple who was first dating. They were both Christians. They met in the college group. They enjoyed having spiritual discussions and discussions about Scripture, and they prayed together often. The young man started seminary, and he wanted to impress his girlfriend at the time with his knowledge that he was learning in seminary. At this particular seminary, they were teaching that the apostolic gifts, the gifts of the Spirit like tongues and prophecies and the others, were only for that particular age. At the time, that's what this young man was receiving and decided to pass on to his young girlfriend. And so he says to her as they're talking, "You know, I don't think tongues is for our day." And she said, "Well, but that's what the Bible teaches, that we can pray and actually speak in tongues." And they had a good discussion going between the two of them, but in the end, he poo-pooed the idea that tongues was active and alive. But she said, "You know, I know from firsthand experience that tongues as a language of prayer is for us today. It is alive and active." Because she knew a couple who woke up every morning and in their prayer time together, they often prayed in tongues. To which he replied, "Well, they're just deceived. They must be crazy." She responded to him by saying, "No, they're not crazy. They're my parents." I wish this story was about someone else besides me. It's a good thing we mature in life and faith, especially those of us who go into ministry as a vocation. And it's a gracious thing that God gives us wives who, when we insert foot, they forgive. Today we're talking about the Holy Spirit as pertains to the baptism of Jesus. We see in this great picture in the Gospel of Mark the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus, and I think purposefully upon him. And so we're going to answer the question this morning, when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull those out. There's a pew Bible there in front of you. We're going to start with our first reading today, Genesis chapter 1. And this is on page 1. I'm sure you can all find it in your pew Bible. You can follow along if you'd like. The text is printed there for you in your bulletin. But from the very beginning of the revelation of God to his people, the very first chapter, the very first verse in all of Scripture, we find the Holy Spirit coming. In the beginning, says our text, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Here's the first depiction in God's revelation to his people of the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit comes and hovers over what is soon to be created by him, the Holy Spirit, him, God. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I want to suggest to you that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that creation came about itself. The rest of the chapter tells us that the earth was created and all of the animals upon it. The heavens, and in Jewish thought, the heavens were the stars and the sun and the moon, the place where we would maybe call space or up in the sky. The earth was the firmament, the terra firma, the ground beneath our feet. And both the heavens and the earth are created by the Holy Spirit who was hovering over the waters. You see, I want to suggest to you this morning that the Holy Spirit was empowering all of creation to become free. Think about it for a minute. Sometimes we think God is in his universe and realm, and he's actively spinning the earth and making sure the sun is making its, coming up, sunrises and sunsets. But the reality is that God has set those things in motion, that they just happen for us now. And to empower means to give power or enable strength or to set free, to control. And in the creation story, we find that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has set the heavens and the earth free to be empowered to do this one thing: to proclaim God's glory. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit empowers the heavens and the earth to do one thing, and that is proclaim God's glory. Remember those three words. That's our theme for this morning. When the Holy Spirit comes, the heavens and the earth proclaim God's glory. Psalm 19, we heard it read for us by Kathy this morning. The heavens, she read, declare the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." When the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the heavens and the earth to be set free to give God glory, that's what happens when the Spirit is present. Number two, when the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, something also happens. Go ahead and look at your Mark text. Verse 10, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Now, let's be clear. The Spirit is not a dove. The Spirit is coming down upon Jesus like a dove. And I believe that Jesus is now being set free to do his public ministry. You know, Jesus said to the disciples when they were going to be set free into ministry and mission, he says, "You will do the same things that I have done. And in fact, you will do greater things than these." That's a tough passage for us to get our minds around. How is that possible? If Jesus is the Son of God, how is it possible that we, mere human beings, can do the things that Jesus did? Cast out demons. Prophesy the words of God. Miraculously heal people by prayer. How does that happen? Well, if it happens for Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, then too it happens to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus, or better said, following shortly thereafter, Luke chapter 4, verse 14, Luke says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. When the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, I would suggest to you this morning, that is the point at which now Jesus is empowered to do his public ministry. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says about Jesus in verse 5 and following, it's known as the Christ hymn. Paul says that Jesus emptied himself of his divine nature. Though he was equal with God, he did not consider himself equal with God. And so if Jesus has emptied himself, then the Holy Spirit now comes upon Jesus to fill him up. And Jesus is released into ministry. In fact, Jesus is first released, led, the scriptures say, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one for 40 days and for 40 nights. And it is by that very Spirit that Jesus lives and conquers temptation. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, he is empowered, and he is empowered to do one thing. Do you know what that one thing is? Proclaim God's glory. If you look at the ministry and mission of Jesus, it's clear that he came to proclaim God's glory by ushering in and proclaiming the kingdom of God has come. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus returns back to Nazareth, he stands up in front of his home congregation. He's in the synagogue. He steps up to the podium. He unfolds the scrolls of the scriptures, and he reads from Isaiah. This is all accounted for in the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter. He reads these words: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus concludes his time speaking to the crowd there in the synagogue by saying these words, which would have astounded them. He says, as he begins his homily after the reading of Scripture, "Today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You can almost hear the jaws drop and hit the floor. "What?" the people say. "But this is just Jesus. This is Jesus, the carpenter's son, the son of Mary." And Jesus says, "But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I have been empowered to proclaim God's glory." You see, friends, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. At the very beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit comes and proclaims God's glory in creation itself. When Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit comes and Jesus is empowered to proclaim God's glory. And then in our text from Acts chapter 19, when the Holy Spirit comes upon these disciples, about 12 men in all, that means there were probably women, perhaps children included here. When the Holy Spirit comes on them, they also do something special and spectacular. Acts 19, Paul comes to these disciples and he says to them, "Have you been baptized?" They say, "We've been baptized, we're believers." And he says, "Well, what baptism have you received?" And they say, "Well, we've received the baptism of John, which was simply a baptism of repentance. John the Baptist said, 'I baptize you for repentance, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" And he says to them, "Have you received the Spirit?" And they say, "We don't even know of such a thing." So he lays his hands on them, and he prays for them. And when Paul placed his hands on them, verse 6, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They received the Holy Spirit now through Paul's proclamation and the baptism of Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit comes, the disciples are empowered to do what? Proclaim God's glory. And how do they do that? Through tongues, which simply means another language. Scriptures are pretty clear that this is the language of the Holy Spirit, tongues. We believe, as Lutheran believers with most of the church these days, that tongues is still an alive and active gift of the Holy Spirit. And they begin to prophesy. That means they proclaim God's word to others. Here's the point this morning. I think we don't make it often enough. The point is this: if you are in Christ Jesus, the scriptures are clear. The Holy Spirit empowers you to proclaim God's glory. How do we know this? Because Jesus promised it. John 14, starting at verse 15. Jesus says to the disciples, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. If you are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers you to proclaim God's glory because Jesus promises it." Because also Paul preached this. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, the beginning part. "You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you." You see, Paul preached that if we are in Christ Jesus, if it is no longer I who live, but it is Jesus Christ who lives in me, then I am empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's glory. We also know this is true because, according to the book of Acts, we have already received the gift of the Holy Spirit if we are in Christ Jesus. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," says Jesus, "and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Friends, the baptism of Jesus reminds us that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Embrace the Spirit. Live his coming, his anointing in you. To do what? These things. Proclaim God's glory. Now you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, but what if I'm not in Christ Jesus? There's good news for you. It is by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit alone, says the Bible, that we come to Christ at all. It's not too late. It's not too early to receive him. I trust, as Corey and I prayed this morning for all of you, you know we do that, right? We get in my office, we have a cup of coffee about at 7:30, we shoot the breeze for a few minutes, and then we pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint our words and our actions, our time together. And as we prayed this morning for you, we prayed especially for those of you who are not yet in Christ Jesus, that you would receive him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, will you do that today? The Spirit is alive and active. If you are already in Christ Jesus, live a life that proclaims God's glory. If you are not yet in him, receive him by faith, through grace, and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.